Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, after showing us this wonderful captain and our great heavenly high priest, we come to chapter 3. And here in chapter 3, the writer of the book of Hebrews gave us a very important example in the scriptures in order to make this very clear to all of us. You know, the Bible is written in such a wonderful way, right, that show us practically, even in the scriptures, the whole Bible actually, right, how to really reach the goal. And so beginning in chapter 3, I'm just going to stand up here so that we can see each other here. Beginning in chapter 3, the writer, which is actually Paul, okay, but he didn't want to use his name because, maybe, nobody is that important, right? We are just sharing what the Lord has shown us. And here, the writer begin to use this wonderful example of the people of Israel coming out of Egypt. And the goal is to enter into the good land. Right? It is not good enough just to come out of Egypt, to be saved from the slavery under the terrible Pharaoh, and to be enslaved in the world, because Egypt is just a picture of this world. And Pharaoh signifies Satan ruling over his world and enslaving everybody in so many things, right? So that we will not be free for God's plan and purpose. So here you can see God sent Moses to face the Pharaoh and to lead God's people out of Egypt. Now, in chapter 3, let us read, turn to Hebrews chapter 3. The word therefore, shows that it follows chapter 2, chapters 1 and 2. After you see chapter 1 and 2, then therefore, holy brethren, praise the Lord. Remember, He is our sanctifier, and we are the ones being sanctified. And that is why we are called saints, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Now this is the real wonderful heavenly calling, right? And the whole heavenly calling is to really make us kings and priests unto God, and then to bring the kingdom down to this earth. This is a wonderful heavenly calling. You know, many times we Christians talk about, individual calling. What is your calling? And what is his calling? What is his ministry? And some says, well, my ministry is to be a cook. I heard that a couple of times. Or my ministry is to bring the gospel to Africa. Or my ministry is so many different things. Right? But hey, this is talking about the heavenly calling, the calling of God to fulfill His plan and His eternal purpose. And we have to really see this calling, because we are all partakers of this same one heavenly calling. It's not just any calling, not your individual calling. Oh, I'm called to be a doctor, or I'm called to be an engineer, I'm calling to do this, the calling to do that. No, this is the heavenly calling. And we are all partakers. That means we all have a part in this heavenly calling. Right? And this is the most wonderful calling, really. Right? And we all need to pay attention to that. So, how do you pay attention to that? Consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Now, here again, the writer used the word apostle. And the word apostle just simply means the sent one. Don't think of an apostle as, you know, somebody so great like Paul and Peter and James and John and all these people. but the apostle. There's one unique apostle sent by God himself directly who came from the bosom of the Father to fulfill God's purpose. He, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the unique apostle. And here in chapter 3, now the writer used Moses as an example, because Moses is a figure of Christ. Right? That is why Moses told his people that God will send a prophet, an apostle, just like me. That's what Moses says. And him you shall hear. Right? And really, when the time came, God sent his only begotten son to come. Remember, the word apostle means the sent one. So God sent his son to accomplish his will and his purpose. And so you have to realize that when we are talking about the apostle, we mean what? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because many years ago, I heard somebody says he is the apostle. No. That is not possible. Because there is only one the apostle, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. So whenever you hear somebody claim that he or she or whoever, I don't care who it is, when they say they are the apostle, you can just forget about it. Go home. Either he goes home or I go home. Because there is only one the apostle, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is unique one. He is the unique one sent by God himself. That is why in chapter 1, it says, last night we saw very clearly that today in the New Testament age, God speaks to us by Charlie. No. By you? No. By whom? By his son, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We all need to learn to hear him. Right? And I want to call your attention to the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17. When the Lord appeared, there was Moses, there was Elijah, and the Lord Jesus was there. And Peter, wow, so that was a wonderful occasion there, right? And he says, let us make how many tabernacles? Three tabernacles. Meaning to say he appreciated Moses, Elijah, and Jesus Christ in the same level. And the Father was offended. So immediately the Father interrupted Peter's nonsensical talk and says, all of a sudden he says, this is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Not Moses, not Elijah. Doesn't mean that Moses is not important or no good, no. But in the New Testament age, we all need to learn to listen to our Lord Jesus Christ. This is very important, right? So here, the writer of the book of Hebrews compared our Lord Jesus Christ to the faithfulness of Moses, because Moses is most faithful concerning God's house. Everything with the people of Israel, whatever God told Moses to do, Moses was so faithful to do it. Now here, let me read. Christ Jesus, verse 2, who was faithful to him, to God, who appointed him, as Moses was also faithful in all his household. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Now let me ask you, who is building the church in Quezon City? You? Anyone? You should really learn to say, no, it's God. Because it's God's house that we are building. And the whole book of Hebrews tells us, later on, maybe tomorrow, we can again talk about this matter. Right? Then it says in verse 5, Moses indeed was faithful in all his house, only as a servant. As a servant. Now it says here, for a testimony of those things which should be spoken afterwards. What does it mean? That means what Moses was doing is still not the real house. Like the tabernacle in the wilderness, that was not the real house of God. That was only a shadow, figure of the real thing that the Lord is building today, which is the real, proper church life. So what Moses did in the wilderness was just a figure, a shadow, types, describing what the future in the age of the new covenant when Christ comes, what he will be building. So in order to understand God's building today, you need to read what Moses wrote in Exodus. Because if you don't, you will not know. Right? So, Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant, only for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards, in the future, which is today. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are. Now, we are the real house of God today. Not something material, not something physical. But we are, like Peter says, the living stones to be built up into a spiritual house. We are the house of God today. Living. Something living, something spiritual. And here it says, whose house we are, but there is a condition. The condition is, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Don't quit. It's not good to quit. Right? I gave an example yesterday or last night. Right? If you're about to graduate, what did you study again? Management engineering. I don't even know what it is, right? I ask her a question. What do you need engineering for to manage? Right? Anyway, how many years do you need to graduate? 4 years. Suppose you just do 3 and quit. After the 3rd year, you think you're going to graduate. They're going to give you a half a diploma. Oh, 2/3 of a diploma. No. Right? If you don't finish, you don't get anything. Ateneo will not offer you a 3/4 of a diploma. No. No. You get nothing. Right? So if today we don't go all the way with the Lord to the end, you quit. If you quit, sorry. You will not enter in. So again, this is a warning here showing us that, hey, we need to hold on all the way firm to the end. And at least 2 or 3 times in the book of Hebrews, it says, you hold on to the end. And if you quit, the book of Hebrews says, my soul will have no pleasure in him. That means the Lord will not be happy. No, you cannot quit. So we need to go all the way with the Lord to the end. Don't go halfway. Don't go 3/4 of a way. Right? You go all the way with the Lord. I've seen so many people quit. You know, I've been walking in this way for almost 50 years now. It's a long time. Right? It's an awfully long time. I've seen so many of my friends and so many that I knew so well before, they quit. They changed. They didn't go on. Or they went on somewhere else, another direction. Even in Europe, right? Some people just, I don't know what happened, right? So don't think everybody will go all the way with the Lord to the end. Remember, our Lord, when he was on this earth, he never quit. Can you imagine the Lord went so far, and at the last moment he changed his mind, he won't go to the cross. What do you think? What do you think, Quentin? Is it good? Maybe at the last step, the Lord says, well, I think it's good enough, Father. You think it's necessary for me to go all the way to the cross? I'm tired. Right? Let's skip the last step. How about that? What will we have today? Tell me. All of you tell me. What do you think, Calvin? Zero. You will not even be saved, three-quarter saved. No, nothing. There will be no salvation. You need to see this. So our Lord was so faithful, like Moses. He did everything, all the way to the end. How about you and I? You going to quit? It's too hard, right? Too difficult. And I'm too busy, right? You think the Lord will wait? No, he will not wait. So, learn, right? And here, Moses, you have to realize Moses is not just for the building of the house, but you have to realize who Moses is. Moses, let me put it down here. Moses, in the Bible, represents the governorship, the kingship. And Aaron in Bible represents the priesthood. In God's economy, whatever he wants to accomplish with the people of Israel, he always needs this too. One is the kingship. Sorry? You want me to write it down? Do I need to? Really? Anyway, we still have some time. I'll write it down. You can really see, number one, what God needs is Moses. Moses. And Moses in the Bible represents the kingship. Represents the kingship. That is why Moses was sent by God to face the Pharaoh. And that was not an easy task. Right? Because Pharaoh is very hard-headed and refused to let God's people go. And so Christ was sent to this earth to deal with the enemy, with the devil. Who else can deal with this Satan? Nobody's qualified strong enough to deal with the devil. Right? So the Lord has to wait for Moses. At the right time, when Moses was ready, God sent Moses to face Pharaoh. So it's just like a picture of God sending his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to deal with the enemy. Right? So you need to realize this. And it was Moses who faced Pharaoh and sent, you all know, the 10 plagues. Right? My, it's terrible. Without the plagues, you think Satan is going to give up? No. No. So when the Lord was on this earth, he overcame Satan. One situation after another. He faced all kinds of challenges. Right? And finally, he was victorious. Even on the cross, he was victorious. Right? So you can really see that Hebrews says he came as a man in flesh and blood, and he destroyed him who has the power of death, which is Satan. Praise the Lord, he was victorious, right? And even when Moses led the people out of Egypt, the Pharaoh changed his mind, right? And led the army to chase after them. And that's why they crossed the Red Sea, which signifies baptism, right? And the whole army of Pharaoh, including himself, was buried there in the Red Sea. And so you can really see how much we need our captain to lead the way. And it was Moses who led the people of Israel all the way to the border of the good land. So it is very important. And during this time, in their journey through the wilderness, they fought so many battles. And without Moses there taking the lead, it's impossible for them to win anything. Right? So you can really see today, we need Moses. And who is our Moses today? Christ is our Moses. Wonderful. So in order to appreciate Christ as our Moses, you need to know the whole history there. What Moses did. And Moses is faithful. Faithful. It's really amazing, right? There is no one in the scriptures in the Old Testament days that is more faithful than this person, Moses. That is why in Hebrews chapter 3, the writer compares our Lord Jesus Christ to Moses. We all need to learn to be faithful like Moses. And our Moses today is Christ. He is even more faithful. And he is worthy of more glory and honor. And he is the owner of the house. Right? Moses was just a servant. But our Lord Jesus Christ, a son over his house, whose house we are, he is worthy of more honor. So today, you need to realize the proper normal church life. What we need is not a pastor, right? What we need is a Moses. This is the normal way. Because Moses represent the ruling, the kingship. Yeah. This is very important. And then, with Moses, there is another person connected to Moses, and that is Joshua, that young man Joshua. Right? Moses brought them out of Egypt through the wilderness, but it was Joshua who led them into the good land. The new generation, the old generation didn't want to go in. But the young generation went into the good land. But Moses did not lead them into the good land. But Joshua did. And Joshua is a type also of our Lord Jesus Christ. The name Joshua in Hebrews is just Jesus. Jesus is Greek, the Greek name. Jesus. But the Hebrew equivalent is Joshua. Right? So, you can really see this too. Right? This too. Joshua and Moses. So, here we can see they came out of Egypt. Right? I'll just write out of Egypt. They brought them out of Egypt. Right? And Joshua brought them into the good land, right? The good land, Canaan. So it is very important for us to see this. But all of these two here, they fought many battles. Especially Joshua entering into the good land. He was not afraid of the giant. Are you afraid? To fight a battle. If you don't have the courage, you don't have an excellent spirit, you cannot fight a battle. So you have two persons there at that time, Joshua and Caleb. Right? But Joshua is the one appointed to lead them into the good land, and not without battle. So you can really see that we need this two persons in one, two in one. Moses and Joshua. Right? So, now, the second person that we need to see there is Aaron. Aaron here. Right? We have Aaron. Praise the Lord for Aaron. Who is Aaron? He's the high priest. High priest. These two offices are very important in God's work. And this is what we need today, the normal church life. We need this, especially in our time today. Right? If we don't have this too, you cannot accomplish God's plan. One is for the kingdom, Moses. There's warfare right there. Right? Of course, Moses was also faithful to build the tabernacles and faithful in telling God's people concerning the law, whatever God's plan was. Right? And here, Aaron, if we read the book of Hebrews later, is concerned about serving God in dealing with all the priestly services. And so we need this too. Remember, even on the way back from Babylon to Jerusalem after the 70 years of captivity, who brought them back? I'm just going to write it down here. Who brought them back? Who represent the governorship? Beginning with Z. No, not Zechariah. Who? Zerubbabel. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Zerubbabel. Is it double B or one B? I'm not sure anymore. Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is the governor. That means he represents the kingship. The same principle. God's way never changes. Right? So we really need to know the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And then who is the high priest at the time? The same name here, except this is a different Joshua. Now here you have Joshua, the great high priest. He's a high priest. Right? So these two here, this one and this one, they are the time when they return from Babylon, right, to Jerusalem. So you can really understand today that these two ministries of our Lord Jesus Christ is very necessary. You know, I cannot explain to you what is in my heart, because at times they are two intangible spiritual things. Right? And so the Lord will have to enlighten our mind and understanding to really see the importance of that. And this is why we read in the afternoon that God's desire is to make us what? Kings and priests. So these are the two normal things concerning the high calling, the heavenly calling. Right? If you miss this two, you miss everything. Look at today's Christianity. What do we need in the church life? We need a pastor. You need to pay your pastor. And what does the pastor do? Give you a message every Sunday. Is he making you kings and priests? No. Even after 50 years of being a Christian, nobody can do anything just sitting there. Nothing. Right? So that system is not according to what the Bible wants. No, definitely not. So if you really see what is in God's hand, this too is very important. And this is what the book of Hebrews is all about. This is what the book of Hebrews is all about. So you can really see now the book of Hebrews finally, I'm just going to write down at the bottom, tell us concerning Jesus Christ. Okay? Jesus Christ. What is he? Well, he's both. Right? He's a king here. And he's also the priest. He's our captain. And he's our high priest. And all of these, you can see, is combined in his capacity as our great heavenly high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. So I'm going to write down here Melchizedek. Okay? Melchizedek. How am I going to explain it to you? The name Melchizedek firstly means In Hebrew, Melchizedek means what? King of righteousness. Melchizedek, King of righteousness. So Melchizedek is the king. He is the king of righteousness, and because he is the king of Salem, where he reigns, Salem means what? Peace. So he is the king of righteousness and peace. Let me tell you, righteousness and peace belong together. If there is no righteousness, there is no peace. That's why in this world there is no peace. Because everybody's fighting, doing a lot of unrighteous things. If there is unrighteousness and lawlessness, there is no peace. Impossible. Right? So our Lord Jesus Christ is both the King of righteousness and also the King of peace. Right? So he is the King. Now, this Melchizedek is the King of righteousness and King of peace. And at the same time, he is a priest forever. The great heavenly high priest. So you can see in this wonderful person of Christ, now these two ministries join together. He is both the king and the priest. It's very important for you to realize this. This is what we need today at the end of this age. You don't need a pastor. No. You know so much already. You heard so many messages for so many years. What do you need a pastor for? Right? And you have the Bible. Read it yourself. Right? You graduated. What? As an accountant. Right? You're an accountant. What did you study?
Accounting.
You study accounting. You call your professor every day and ask your professor, what should I do here? And what should I do that? Do you need him? No more. Right? Because, hey, you've been perfected. You may even be better than your professor. Who knows? Well, I don't know. Maybe. I'm going to ask your client. Right? Hey, you know, but what we really need today is to get ready to be king. And in order to be a king, you need to let this wonderful king rule in your heart. If you keep on rebelling and disobey him and don't listen to him, I don't think you can be a co-king with Christ. Okay? You want to be co-king with the Lord, you better learn to obey him. Come under his rule. Let him rule over you. You have to see this. You have to learn to listen to him. And then you have to learn how to be a priest. Now, in order to confirm this, let us turn to Zechariah. To Zechariah chapter 6. Towards the end of the Old Testament, right? Before Malachi, you have Zechariah. And in Zechariah chapter 6, there is a wonderful prophecy concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember, we have this Zerubbabel, this name, and we have Joshua, these two names, right? And Joshua here is the high priest at the time when they returned to Jerusalem from Babylon. And you have Zerubbabel, right? Here, these two names. Now, the very strange and wonderful thing written here in Zechariah chapter 6 concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just read beginning in verse 9, okay? Then the word of the Lord came to me, to Zechariah, saying, receive a gift from the captives, from Heldai, Tobijah, and Jediah, who have come from Babylon, and go the same day and enter into the house of Josiah the son of Zephaniah. Take silver and gold and make an elaborate crown. An elaborate crown. Okay, now when you have a crown now, in whose head are you going to set the crown on? No, don't look at the Bible now. If you look at the Bible, of course, you're going to say, oh yeah. Now, if you don't look at the Bible, you have two persons here. One is Zerubbabel and one is Joshua. And doctrinally, you just heard Joshua is there? A priest. And Zerubbabel represents? Okay, then God says, make a crown. Okay, after the crown is made, Frank, where are we going to put it on? On whose head? The king, of course. And who is the king there? Zerubbabel. But that's not what the Bible here says. What did it say? And set it on the head of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest. Wow, if I were Zerubbabel, I would say, hey, that's the wrong head. You should put it on my head. What do you mean, on Joshua? You're not clear who is the king and who is the priest. Right? Alfonso, wouldn't you say so? Suppose you're Zerubbabel. Huh? I think you'll get angry. Hey. That's the wrong head, okay? You put it on my head. Then speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, what? Behold, the man whose name is the branch. Now it's talking about the Lord Jesus now. He's the branch out of Jesse, the tribe of Judah. From his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. This is talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. So who is building the church now? And he shall bear the glory, and he shall sit and rule in his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne. Now, who is this referring to? It's referring to our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, now who is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Both the King of righteousness and of peace, and at the same time, he is our great high priest today. The scripture is wonderful. Right? So, you all need to see this wonderful way of God. This is God's way. Not man's traditional way, but this is God's way, and his ways will never, ever change. Right? So here it says, he shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both, between the ministry of the kingship and the ministry of the priesthood, all both combined in our Lord Jesus Christ. If we can see this today, then we know how the Lord is going to lead us and perfect us to finish his work today. And especially we, living at the end of this age, we need to see this. Because we are the age of maturity at the time when the Lord will come very soon. Right? And this is what Hebrews is telling us. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews. Now, coming to this point, in chapter 3, he's telling us, therefore, again, another therefore, as the Holy Spirit says in verse 7, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart, as in the days of rebellion, of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, saw my work 40 years. for 40 years. Can you imagine? How many years have you been a Christian? Right? At least 10 plus years consciously, right? Yeah. And some of us have been a Christian for how many years? How about you? 30 years maybe? Right? I don't know how many years. But those people, they're coming out of the wilderness and they saw so much work done by the Lord. So many miracles they've seen with their own eyes. And yet, for 40 years, they were rebelling. They were against God. Yeah, disobedient, even carrying their idols with them on the way. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. Isn't that our case? Right? After a meeting, we're touched. After 1 week, it's over. Right? And then you need another conference. After the conference, you were touched again. And after the conference, your heart went astray again. And you need another conference. Why do you need so many conferences for? No, we really need to go on with the Lord. Right? And this is a warning. They have not known my ways. And now, today I'm showing you in the Word what was God's way before. And it's the same, exactly the same today. God's way will never change. Right? And I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now, this is important. What does it mean? They shall not enter into my rest. So again, you need to really see the whole picture there, right? To enter into the rest, for them at that time, means to enter into Canaan, the good land. But is that the ultimate? No, not yet. Because after you enter into the good land, you need to find out the place where the Lord God chose, which is Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, you have to build a temple. And then God's throne is in the temple. So if you just enter into the good land and you don't care for Jerusalem, that means you don't care for God's kingdom. So at the end, they want their own kingdom and they want to have their own king. And what was the final result? Catastrophe. They end up doing their own thing, ended up like the nations, worshipping idols, and turn everything upside down. Right. And nobody cared to choose Jerusalem to build God's house until the time of David. And then Solomon built the house, and then they fell again, and finally they were carried into captivity in Babylon. They lost everything. So, don't think today we are already in Christ because we entered into Christ. Definitely Christ is our good land. But why? Just for your enjoyment? You're in Christ enjoying the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ just for your own benefit? If that is your case, then you still have not fully entered into His rest. Because you don't care about His king. You don't care about Jerusalem. Remember, in chapter 12, the church today is the heavenly Zion, the city of the living God, the new Jerusalem, the unshakable kingdom. So if you have not reached that point, you have not entered into the rest yet. And for us today, to enter that rest is to enter into the coming millennial kingdom. And those generation during the time of Moses did not enter in. And the writer of Hebrews used that as a warning to us. Hey, you better wake up. Right? Let us read what the Word of God here says. Beware. Again, there's a beware here. Verse 12. Beware, brethren. He's talking about to Christians, okay? He's talking to Christians. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. No, it doesn't mean that they don't believe in God anymore, but they depart from what God has told them. They don't listen. Right? Yes, you believe some part, but then you don't believe the best part, you don't believe. Right? But exhort one another. How often? Are you sure? No. Once a week for 1 hour in Sunday. That's good enough, right, Karina? Once a week, Sunday morning. Exhort one another once a week on Sunday. You think that's enough? No. It says daily. Yeah. Even husband and wife, you need to exhort one another. Ah, tell your wife, my dear, remind me, okay? We need to enter into his rest. Right? And then the wife will say, yeah, and you remind me too. Right? Let's remind one another. Because, hey, you can be so busy and get distracted by anything. And then afterwards, at the end of the week, you say, where am I? Where are we? We forget. It's very easy to be like that, distracted. Right? But exhort one another daily while it is called what? Today. So that's why I told you yesterday, daily. Today means every day, because when you come to tomorrow is today. Right? So every day is a today. So today means daily. Right? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So there are many things there that will deceive you. My, when you saw something your heart likes, well, you're already gone. Drawn away. Right. And so it's very important that we all take heed of the warning. For we have become partakers of Christ. If we hold, again it says, the beginning of our confidence once in a while. What did he say? Steadfast to the end. You better do that. Okay, it's not what I'm saying, is what the Bible says. Right? While it is said today, if you will hear your voice, do not harden your heart. No. And let me warn you, if you let your heart just go and you don't care, little by little, your heart becomes hardened. And when your heart becomes hardened, you will have no ear to listen anymore, and it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't touch your heart anymore. Is the Lord there? Of course, He's very faithful. He will talk to you and say, hey, Karina, wake up. Hey, you won't react anymore. If our heart is hardened, no. You will not be touched by the Lord's word. Right. So, this is a warning to all of us. Then he says, who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who were saved out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, and meaning to say who refused to repent? But if you have a hardened heart, you cannot repent. It will be very difficult. Right? And whose corpses fell in the wilderness. that is even more terrible. Don't think it'll not happen to us. Yep. Whose carcasses fell in the wilderness. Yep. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And the unbelief here means disobedience. So this is a very serious warning. And therefore, again, I would like to tell you all, not all the Christians and believers will be a partaker of the millennial kingdom when it appears. And you should ask a question. What happens if you cannot enter in? What's going to happen to you? Right? So, and here this example here tells us their body, their corpses fell in the wilderness. They did not enter in. So for us today, the New Testament says there will be a judgment for those who do not make it. So be warned. It is very, very important. Right? And then you can read chapter 4 by yourself. And then verse 8, it says, for if Joshua has given them rest, because Joshua led them into the good land. But that good land is not the real rest yet. It was only a picture of the real rest, which is the coming millennial kingdom. Then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Then there remains therefore, again it says therefore, a rest for the people of God. I would add the word today, our time in the New Testament. That means today it is very possible you cannot enter in if you're like them. But there's also a possibility for us to enter in if we are faithful and hold fast until the end. Right? Verse 11. Therefore, let us be what? Diligent to enter that rest. Lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Praise the Lord. And we read last night, all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Give an account. Don't think this word is not important. We have to give an account. I ask the question, suppose God wants you or me to give an account today, Johannes. Do you have a good account to give? Are you ready? Will the Lord look through the accounting and say, hey, that is not right here. It didn't balance out correctly. And you owe that. And you didn't pay for this. And there was a mistake there. You'll be audited. Then when are you going to pay? Today you can still repent. But at that day, it is according to his righteous judgment. Too late. It doesn't mean you lose your salvation. But then, as God's people, you have to go through a dispensational punishment from him. It is serious. Take it seriously. Right. So, may the Lord have mercy on us. Then in chapter 5, we still have a few minutes. I don't want to keep you too long today because we just had two meetings after another. Just briefly in chapter 5. Chapter 3 and 4, he talks about Moses. Chapter 5, he talks about this wonderful great high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Right? So now, let me read it to you very quickly. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may give messages to the believers. Is that what it says? No, that he may preach. No? What does it say again? Let's all read it together.
That he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins.
He may offer gifts and sacrifices. This is the job of the priest. Now, in chapter 5, he began to talk about the high priest now. Are we priests? Yeah? Yeah, praise the Lord. I'm glad the young sisters nod their head. So what are you supposed to do as a priest? You got it. See, it's very simple, right? Not hard. Not hard. That is what the word says. Otherwise, what are you doing as a priest if you don't offer up sacrifice? Right? And he can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself, that means priest according to the order of Aaron, right? He himself is subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So, it is absolutely a calling from God. Then in verse 5, so also Christ did not glorify himself to become a high priest. But it was he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." And not only that, it also says in Psalm 110 here, "You are a priest forever, but it's according to the order of Melchizedek." So tomorrow morning, we will start to talk about this. Right? And this is really, really wonderful. Right? Here, he just tells us how he practiced to be a priest. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Well, we need to have godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience. This is what we need to learn today through Christ. Right? By the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, again, now here, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him, called by God as a high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. Praise the Lord. Now, it's different now than a captain. Now, he is also perfected as a great heavenly high priest. According to the order of Melchizedek, then I really like verse 11, of whom we have what? Much to say. You really have much to say? We have much to say about this wonderful Melchizedek. And hard to explain. This is not in kindergarten. Right? Kindergarten is a German word, actually. Garden for children. Right. This is college level. It's college level. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Don't be like that. Do not be dull of hearing. You should open your heart and say, "Lord, show me. I want to learn. I want to know you as this wonderful, great high priest according to the order of Melchizedek." Otherwise, you only know him as a savior. You only him, oh, he's my life. Okay, that's fine. But what about the captain? What about he's the sanctifier? What about he is a forerunner? What about he's the anchor of our soul? What about he's a great high priest? He's the author of eternal salvation. Right? And then he, right now, he's a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. All of these, I'm afraid so many Christians have no ideas what all these means, right? And what do all these things have to do with us? And it has all to do with us in order to accomplish God's plan and purpose. So, may the Lord grant us much grace. I really hope so. Don't take this just as some kind of a teaching and knowledge. Right? But bring it to the Lord. When you go home tonight, you ask the Lord, Lord, show me. I want to know. And I want to experience all of these things. Right? So, may the Lord be merciful to all of us. We can stop here, right? Amen.